And so tonight we're going to be in Daniel, and we're going to be in chapter 10. And so we skipped a couple of chapters, but Daniel had some big visions that God had given to him, and something about the end times, about the four beasts, the ram and the goat, the little horn, those kind of things like that that he had went through, and had two encounters with this angel called Gabriel. And so we see that Daniel's been going through some things for the last couple of chapters. And tonight we're going to pick it up in chapter 10. And I just want to share with you tonight. So tonight there's different angles. It's all biblical, but we can go through what is really going on with the whole thing with the end times piece. This is and getting in depth with that. But I want to take it at a different angle tonight, still working through some of that, but we're going to be looking at what some of you, like for me and my wife Carla, we are horrible with computers, but you that know computers are very good with computers. But again, if you said, hey, I want you to get up and if you're knowledgeable, can you come over here and play that piano? And most of us here would not be able to play that piano, and if you did, we didn't want to hear you anyway, right? So we know, and then if you wanted to redo this sanctuary, many of you could not do this sanctuary because you don't have that knowledge to do that. But you can learn things and you can become skilled in things. But tonight, the world doesn't understand what we're going to be talking about tonight. They can throw their ideas and thoughts at it, but we're going to see tonight that there's something major happening with Daniel in this moment in his life. Where we see this piece where he has this vision and doesn't give us all the answers, but he is a part of it. So we're going to read here. I want to start in 10. I just want to get this little what's happening here in verses 1 through 8. We're going to read a little bit here of 10, and then we're going to pick it up after this little piece here. Chapter 10, verse 1, it says, in the third year of King Cyrus of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. Now, remember that King Belteshazzar? Belteshazzar is what he was renamed as Daniel. Not Belshazzar, but Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar was that king. Remember the one that had the big party, and the party is over? That's him, and he's done. But he was given this name, Belteshazzar. The message was true. The message was true and about a great conflict, something that was going to happen. He understood the message and had understanding of the vision. That's what God gifted him with, understanding visions and dreams. Now, there's going to be some he's going to struggle with, and he'll be given some things. But in those days, I were over. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing in the banks of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there was a man dressed in linen and the belt of gold from Euphrates around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face was like the brilliance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see it, but a great terror fell on them, and they ran and hid. I was left alone, looking at this great vision. No strength was left in me. My face grew deathly pale, and I was powerless. I heard the words he said, and when I heard them, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. So there's a lot that's happening right here. Daniel has taken a moment where he is eating, but he's eating more like vegetables. He's kind of doing that fast, kind of this thing here. He's eating, but he's not eating the choice foods. And no wine or those kind of things. Pretty much straight out water and some vegetables. And he's taking these 3 weeks to mourn and just kind of like, Lord, I don't like what's going on here. And I'm struggling with it. This is breaking me. And so, but he gets this vision on this on the Tigris River there. And he sees someone that's shining and just an amazing piece. Now, we don't know who that is. We can think that some people believe that is Jesus. Because if you go to Revelation chapter 1, it has a pretty much a similar description there, but not all the way. And then some people think it's what we're going to go next into this part where this angel is there, because we know that there is an angel that begins to do some things here in number 10, in verse 10. So we see that the Lord is doing something here with Daniel. And so he saw a vision and everybody just scattered. And So here he is. He falls to the ground. His face is in the ground. Here's where we go. And this is where I want to be tonight. Verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me and set me shaking on my hands and knees. And he said to me, Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. Understand the words that I'm saying to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you. And he said this to me. After he said this to me, I stood trembling. So we know that this is a pretty much an angelic being here. He's saying here, you are a man treasured by God. Could you imagine being told that you are treasured by God? Wouldn't that be awesome? You are treasured by God. You remember when Gabriel went to Mary, you've been found with favor with God. Remember, you've been found with favor, right? And so we know, it seems like that Gabriel gives us the messages. He does a lot of these messages that we see in Scripture here. And so what we do here is he stands on his feet. Just want to remind you that when spiritual things happen in the flesh, when those cross over, those bend the cross, spiritual always trumps the flesh. God is doing something there. And you may not ever understand what the full extent of it that he is doing, but there is a purpose why God is allowing you to see it, be part of it, experience it, whatever it may be. So we see here that how does one become treasured of God? How does one become treasured? You've been found treasured with God. How's one? Well, one, we're going to see that I think you need to be obedient to God. I think living a righteous life, which is a Christ-like life, the life that God's called us to live, putting God first, being humble. Humble yourself, a desire for God. You have to have a desire for God. I think not neglecting your prayer life and loving God and people. Those are pretty quick, but those things. And so the heart has to be right with God. The spirit has to be right with God. And the life has to be right with God. Right? And your mind needs to be filled with the things of God. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you are without, doesn't mean you don't sin from time to time. No, you are going to mess up. We do live in the flesh. But God says this, He said to me, Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. That is amazing, isn't it? And then he goes down to verse 12. Don't be afraid, Daniel. He said to me, for from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard. I have come because of your prayers. So here we see, because he was humble before God, and his prayers were heard. Hopefully not that Daniel's not saying really much anything right now. The angel is speaking, okay? And so basically he says, from the first day that you proposed to understand, listen, the day that he wanted to understand some things, and he humbled himself, and he began to pray. Those things are very, very important. He had a hunger for understanding. He humbled himself for 3 weeks, and he ate no choice food. He prayed, and this is in the power of prayer. God hears it. So we look at this, and we go in depth here. Don't think your prayers don't mean nothing. That's what Satan wants you to think, that when you pray, it just bounces off the wall. But we all know that. We've all felt that before, right? When you prayed and you felt like they just went like this. You felt like that God wasn't hearing it. Here it is. The scripture here tells us to be steadfast. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Because he said this. He said this. Pay attention. From the first day. And to humble yourself. Right? Before your God, right? Your prayers were heard from the very first day. Even if you prayed for 5 years for something, the very first day, God hears it. And we get very impatient. Sometimes we get impatient. But if we had faith, and the faith that we understand and know that when we pray, God hears it from the first day it comes out of our mouth. He hears it. Does God have to tell you that? No, but he tells us here it works that way. That he hears it, right? He's showing us. He's telling us. He says, your prayers were heard. I have come. The angel says, I have come because of your prayers. Could you imagine that? You pray for something and God sends an angel because you're praying. Here's the problem. We don't believe that God moves anymore. we don't believe God uses his angels anymore, and if we do believe God's going to do something with, and you're defeating yourself. God hears your prayers, and he hears them, and God moves because you're praying. Angels move. He says, I have come because of your prayers. That should be encouraging enough to know that we need to pray and to keep on praying, I would think. If there's anything that I know in my own life, I know that God answers prayer. I have too many testimonies to prove. I have too many answered prayers to think else. God answers prayers. God hears prayers. And I want to remind you, God answers prayers of young people. I got cut from a basketball team in 1978. I remember I wanted to play basketball. Sometimes I think God was showing me, and I prayed, and I prayed, Lord, I want to make this team. I want to make this team. I want to make this basketball team. And it was in junior high. I was in eighth grade. I go ahead and I try out. I'll go all the way up. I make all the cuts until the very last cut. I go up there to look on the wall. I'm like, somebody yelled out, hey, you got cut. I'm like, oh. So I go to my English class, first class of the day, and I was like, wait a minute. I really want to play ball. So I prayed and I said, Lord, here I am. I know I'm only 13 years old, and I want to 14 years old, and I want to play ball. I know you can make a miracle happen. I just want to play ball. The last class of the day, the buzzer went over our room, said, hey, you know, Jimmy Staten to come to the office. I went to the office and said, hey, there was a boy that made the team. He can't play. The coach says, you want to play? So I played. God never promised me to be a superstar. God never said, you think what I went home and you know what I did? I thought, oh my gosh, how big is God? My prayers are little. My little desires are little. It also happened to me in high school, and I got the last guy cut from a baseball team. I said, Lord, you did it when I was in eighth grade. Can you do it here in high school? At the end of the day, I got there was a note that was brought in from the class and said, hey, coach wants to see you. I came in, and coach says, hey, I have a player that can't play. You're the last guy. You want to play? Yeah, I want to play. Didn't say I'd be a superstar. Didn't say I'd be a major league, but I prayed. And you know what I learned is that as a young boy? That God answers prayers. And when you got God on your side, all the miracles can happen in your life. And here's the problem. We don't believe that God can do something. I just had childlike faith, and God answered it. You think God's interested in the baseball problem and this and that and can't believe, and they do everything on a business form and say, we can't build a building because we only got $10,000, but we need $100,000, so we can't build it. We stop the progress of what God wants to do in our life because we don't believe he's even there. Daniel's trying to work through this. He's all caught up in this whole thing, and the angel is speaking to him. And he says, listen, I've come because of your prayers. Not boasting on me, just God does it, but I've got all kinds of prayers like that. I've got all kinds of testimonies like that. All kinds. And some of you might think, well, you're just special. I'm not. No, I'm just a believer. You're a believer. And we need to keep believing. Going on. But he says this in verse 13. The angel says this. Now, the angel, many of the people believe that this angel here is Gabriel. We can't prove that it's Gabriel, but Gabriel already visited Daniel two times. We see his thing in there two times. Okay? So most people believe this is Gabriel again, just didn't say it this time. But regardless, it's a powerful angel, okay? But the prince, he says this, the angel says this, he says, remember, he says this, he says, from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard. I have come because of your prayers, okay? Then he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Now this is when we get into the dark part of spiritual warfare. He says the prince of Persia the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, with the kings of Persia, now I have come to help you understand what will happen to your people in the last days, for the vision refers to those days. He says, I'm going to give you the answer to all this stuff you're asking. I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to share those things with you. This vision refers to the last days. So he's bringing in some of these last days, prophetic pieces of the kingdom, and things would be also similar in the book of Revelation, those kind of things. But he says, something happened. You were praying, but the Lord heard it from the very first day that you set aside to pray. I went off, but I was held up for 21 days with the demonic forces. Okay? So maybe sometimes when you're praying and you're praying for spiritual things, there might be some kind of cosmic spiritual battle going on that you don't even get to see. But for a second, it's though the God says, I want my people to understand a little bit about spiritual warfare, and really gets really ugly toward God, so disrespectful toward God. We see in the Garden of Eden, we see that spiritual warfare there with Adam and Eve. We go past and we see some things with the apostles and Jesus casting out demons. But with this, it's like this is another door, like a window. We're allowed to look, but we can't go out and look everything around. But we're allowed to look in some of what's going on. Because we got to be careful not to get all consumed with it. Because once we get pulled into it, it can really drag you in. And then you want to know more. I want to know more. But here's where we find ourselves. He says that Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me after I had been there with the kings of Persia. And so what we see here, he says, now I've come to help you understand. So this angel has a mission, and he was held up for 21 days. 21 days. So the demonic doesn't want him to be one of the archangels. And here we find out. So what we find out here is this all because somebody started praying. Let me share something with you here. I'm going to share something with you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn over to James chapter 5 for a minute. James chapter 5. Think about this for a minute. Have you ever went and you're like, I'm going to pray the Lord today, and you fell asleep? You ever fall asleep praying the Lord? Come on. I have, right? Have you ever went down the road and you start praying the Lord, and the radio comes on, and the song comes on, and you start not praying, and you start singing the song? Even if it's a worship song or secular, whatever it is? Yeah. Idol. And Satan knows it. The dark side knows it and wants you to take it very lightly. Wants you to not spend much time in prayer. Doesn't want you to be praying, because when you find out the power of prayer, there's times when you want to pray. There's times when I'm in this moment. There's times I blow it, guys. I'm going to tell you, there's times I blow it. But there's times when I know I feel like God is over there and he's calling me to go over there, but it's going to take me about 15 minutes to get over there. Because the power of God isn't there. You know what I'm saying? You just... There's a pull there, and when you really get into that spiritual peace, I'm telling you, your self-reveal, it's just a lot's happening. But I want to share with you this. The Bible tells us, the book of James is all about this life thing, right? Keep your mouth shut, watch what you say, don't show favoritism. All Christians are going to have trials and tribulations, all that. But he finishes up with the effective prayer. They should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a human being as we are, and he prayed earnestly that he would not rain. And it would not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any of you among you strays, someone should turn him back. But here's what I say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times he talks about prayer. praying, 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 because praying is effective. Prayer is effective. And we need to make sure that he says this in verse 15. He says in verse 15, while he was saying these words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and was speechless. Suddenly, one with human likeness touched my lips. I opened my mouth and said to the one standing in front of me, my Lord, because of the vision, anguish overwhelms me and I am powerless. How can someone like me, your servant, speak with someone like you? My Lord, how? Now I have no strength and there is no breath in me. Then the one with a human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, don't be afraid. You are treasured by God. Peace to you. Be very strong. So again, he's touched again, and this time he is strengthened. And so what we see here is God is doing some things to work with Daniel, but through this, things that are angelic, things that are spiritual are coming out. Some conversation, some interpreting dreams and visions. And now this is getting, I'm just telling you, the more you do, the more, where the scripture says much is acquired, where much is given, much is acquired, where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. This is actually living that out. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. And Daniel is an awesome statesman for the Lord. He's awesome. He's working in the political world, but he knows how to do it. And he does not shy away from God. But here's what's happening. A lot of things is happening here. So we see here, as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And he said, do you know why I have come to you? I must return at once to fight against the prince of Persia. That's what the angel says. And when I leave, the prince of Greece will come. That's more of that prophetic piece. However, I tell you going on, and this cosmic battle is about people, but it's concerning the angelic world. I want to share. The book of Jude shares a piece here. Also, the book of Jude goes like this, real quick. It opens up a window and then it shuts. But if you poke your head in that window and look, you're going to see that Michael is also mentioned here, but Satan is also mentioned in the same verse. And it's all about Moses' body. And we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us where Moses died, does it? Not a specific spot. Not like where you see, like Abraham, some of them will tell you where they were buried, and Joseph, it'll tell you where they were buried. But Abraham just, no. Not Abraham, I'm talking Moses. But the scripture tells us in Jude 9, there was a kind of an argument. And Michael says, nope, I'm going to take the body. And Satan says, nope. The one God is the Savior, there's the Holy Spirit. Satan is an angel, a cherubim. He's an angel who sinned and went against God. And we have him right here in Scripture, in Jude 9, it says this. And yet Michael, the archangel, contending with the devil, when they disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a rivaling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Our purpose is not to talk to angelic beings, and especially we have to be careful all the time. You're looking down the wrong road, and I think that will bring more harm than good. But here we find two angelic beings, one good for God and one that went against God, disputing over the body of Moses. Could you imagine disputing over your body? But I want to remind you, if you have Jesus Christ, there's no disputing over your body now, because you have the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. That's the power of salvation. That's the power of the cross. The power of the resurrection. So we know there was an argument there. We know there was an argument, a dispute over the body. So we see here, now going back to here, we see that there's a struggle going on. And he says, listen, I was caught for 21 days. I was stopped for 21 days. But going back here, the only one that's there that's going to help me is Michael. When I go back over there. Now, how do we understand? Paul's going to write something here in Ephesians 6. And Ephesians 6 talks about Christian warfare. And it starts in verse 10. It says, finally be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Okay? All right? He says, the schemes against the devil. Here it says, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Even though we can go to war, we can do those things, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay? But it's against the rulers. Number one, against the authorities. Number two, against the cosmic powers. Number three, of this darkness. And against evil and the spiritual forces of the heavens. It's like four or five pieces right there. One, we have to know the demonic side is organized. It is organized, okay? These principalities and powers, they refer to different levels and types of spiritual faith working in to deceive and manipulate the world. And that's going to happen down the road. That's going to happen when the Antichrist comes. That's what some of the stuff he's going to talk about, the Antichrist. And if you are not saved, you take the number of the beast that goes on your hand or on your forehead. And you don't get no food. You don't get no gas. You don't take it. But people will, they'll have to do that. Everything's going to be falling apart. And so this principalities, the rules of darkness are going to be in these national leaders and things of that sort. And spiritual hosts of wickedness. We also see that it's the entire army of all the fallen angels. They group together, and these demons oppose the works of God, and they oppose what you and I are doing tonight here, assembling ourselves together under the banner of the Lord to worship. And so we see there with those things, and then there's this cosmic and the heavenly conflict. All that's going on. There's so much going on that God doesn't want us to see it all. Right here, He doesn't want us to see it all. The Lord. We can't even handle a demonic dream, let alone seeing it. Okay? Could you imagine one coming to visit you, to attack you? It happens to people. But here it is. We find out here that through this, Ephesians 6 tells us, it shares with us what is happening in the spiritual world and begins to break it down into the areas of when and how they work. I'm not going to get into all we did. I just barely went over it. But they're out there, and they want to stop you. First, they want to stop the person who doesn't know Christ from hearing the gospel. How do I know that? How do we know that? Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those. And it's the darkness that is veiled to those who are not hearing, who are perishing. Because the God of this age has blinded them. And so that's their first thing, is to keep people from coming to hearing the gospel. Once we hear the gospel, he was found to be a treasure to God. I think that's what we should all aim to be, a treasure for God, that God can share some things with us that he may not share. You notice these other people, they all ran away when he saw the vision, but here he stayed. Same thing with Paul. When his name was Saul, he was going down Damascus Road, and all they heard it, but they didn't see it. But God allowed him to see and to hear, and his life was changed. Here, Daniel is seeing things and hearing things that are just unique to him. And he sees it, and he said, listen, this. Imagine just hearing all that and seeing that. Wow, 21 days. My prayer was heard for 21 days. It was being held out there because there was a battle, a spiritual battle going on. Listen, when you pray for lost loved ones, you need to keep praying for them. Because I'm telling you, there's a battle going on. I want to go really quick here because I want to finish this up. Chapter 12, real quick. I just want to finish this up so we can be done with Daniel. We're skipping 10, we're skipping 11. That when it comes to like a guardian angel, if you want to call it that, he is the prince over the Israel. Okay? At that time, Michael, the great prince who stands watch over your people, will rise up. He's talking about a time. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since nations came and being until that time. But at that time, all your people who are found written in the book will escape. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life and some to disgrace and eternal contempt. Wow. But he says this, But you, Daniel, keep these words, keep them secret, and seal the book up. And it was sealed up for a long time. This book was sealed up for a long time. Then I, Daniel's writing, and I looked, and two others were standing there, one on the bank of the river and one on the other side. One of them said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the water of the river, how eternally that it would be for a time, times, and a half a time. When the power of the holy people is shattered, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, what will be the outcome of these things? Now we know that Daniel's like, he knows all interpretations of visions and dreams, but he says this one. He says, when will this come to be? And he said, Daniel, go on your way, Daniel, for the words are secret, and they are sealed until the time of the end. And many will be purified, cleansed, and refined. That's you and me. But the wicked will act wickedly. None of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. From the time the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up. Now that's like, I don't have time to get into that. But that's like right now, they're not doing sacrifices, right? Right? But the Antichrist, the beast, all that stuff, okay? He says, and the abomination of desolation is set up, and there will be 1,290 days. Now he says, happy is the one who waits and reaches 1,335 days. But as for you, he's saying this, as for you, Daniel, as for you, go on your way to the end. You will rest. And then you will stand to receive your allotted inheritance at the end of the days. Isn't that awesome? He says, Daniel, don't worry about it. Seal it up. You're going to go. You're going to pass on, and you're going to go rest. You're going to rest. And then you're going to receive your allotted inheritance. All that stuff we preach about, the inheritance, eternal life and all that, at the end of the days. Negative thing about Daniel. Daniel was an amazing thing. He saw things that others, he can interpret things that no one else can interpret. He was in the company of kings, yet he was in captivity, but he was in the company of kings, and God allowed him to prosper even through a time of captivity. And he believed that Daniel never left. He never left Babylon, even though many of them started going back. He stayed. He was in his 80s. Could be his 90s, who knows? But God wasn't done with him. His biggest revelations and understandings came later in his life. Don't think because you're not 25 or 30 or 40 anymore that God is done with you. God can do amazing things in your life. He doesn't always do it. He might do awesome things. But here's what I know in my own life. God did amazing things when I was in junior high, like he did you. And he does you. I don't think God's done with me. I think God will be done with me when he's done with me. But I think the things that God's going to do are still going to be great, going to be good, going to be better, because that's just who he is. Spiritual warfare is a hard thing to work through. I would always suggest that if you struggle with spiritual warfare and something going on in your life, don't keep it to yourself. Find someone that's biblical knowledgeable. Don't run off to tarot card readers. Don't run off to the local psychic people. You need to get with somebody that knows the scriptures and knows the Lord and has been a Christian for a long time to understand at least some things. And it's always better to have a little bit of help. Amen? Some of you have called me and I've done the best I could. I don't always have the answers. And sometimes I've shared some things of my own self. But this scripture reminds me tonight and reminds me that what such an amazing peace. And we see a glimpse of that. 21 days, because Satan did not, the dark side did not want that prayer to be answered. Listen, if it's worth praying for, and you believe that God's going to answer it, you want God to answer it, you keep praying for it. Don't give up, because I think that's what Satan wants us to do. Give up in our prayer life. Give up in your prayer life. And when you give up in your prayer life, your testimonies will shrink down to about nothing. Because think about it, most of your testimonies are from praying. They're outcomes from praying. Amen? That's what they are. Let's just stand. We'll have an opportunity tonight. If you just want to come pray. I won't make it long tonight,